everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Knee Slapping K-Pop Podcast. I am Kayla, and today I am here with Sammy.
Hello, hello.
And today we are here for the finale, the part two of the 2023 K-pop boy group debuts, and we have even more boys to talk about this episode than we did the first time.
There's so many boys.
And
overwhelmingly boy-heavy.
Yes, and we did predict the future. We did find an extra boy group in between the time we recorded the last episode and this episode, so now we got 28 total boy groups to talk about.
We did. There's always more.
It was not the one we were expecting to find, but once we found out about them, we did have to add them to the list. So
We did. There are two big not to be added to the list.
Yes.
It's overwhelming.
It is. There's so many.
I've been inundated with boy groups. Every time I look at the list, I feel like I've forgotten a different boy group. Mm-hmm. I'll just be like, oh yeah, them. I remember. Now I know them.
Okay, it's very hard to keep track of it when there are 28 of them that have come out this year. So
yeah. There's a lot going on here.
It's so much. A lot of them are like, because they have either existed, mostly because they've existed for lesser period of time.
There's less music to talk about here.
I feel like we do have less to say about them, but also we still do have a lot to say about them at the same time. So
see, here's the thing.
Because of the Boys Planet.
Mainly because of the Boys Planet. I feel like, well, they do have less, they have less time to make music. This is also, I mean, other than like Boy Next Door and ZB1, this is where the hard hitting, this is where all the boys went.
Oh, yeah.
This is where we get the big groups.
Yes,
and
yes.
And the spicy groups. Because the the last time.
We had generally positive opinions about every group we talked about last time.
The spiciest opinion I had was, you sound generic and I'm bored.
Right. But and like, you're going to get lost in the sea of boy groups. And that was the worst we had to say there.
And that's mainly just because I feel like they could be doing more and more interesting. And also, you're a Nugu boy group. You have $5 and a dream. So
exactly,
Godspeed
right.
to you.
Right, right.
But I guess we start with, we're going to slowly ease our way into the spice. Because, like, I think we start pretty okay. And then we get to some spice.
We do get to the spice.
So
around the middle.
We are starting. It's unfortunate to start with, like, the, we're not starting high, because we're starting with Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Horizon debuted on July 24th. They're a 7-member Korea-based Filipino group under MLD Entertainment, formed on the survival show Dreammaker. That's where you know any of these people from, because they're Filipino, and where would K-pop fans have even heard of these people?
Yeah, none of them have ever been anywhere before that show.
They debuted with 16, the song. They've had a bunch of pre-debut stuff. They had
three pre-debut
they had Dash,
songs.
And they had, what's the other one?
Salamat was the middle,
Salamat, it was in there.
The pre-debut stuff was rough, because it started with Dash, and Dash was, like, your very typical, like, noise
Dash,
music song.
Look, Dash made them really fit with the MLD boy group style.
Yes. Being
T1419. Which rebranded as something else, and
It's just TFN. It's just
TFN,
the same. It's just the, like, replace the letters with, or the numbers with letters.
Yeah, that, and also a little bit with, what's it called? Lapilus?
Yep.
They kind of fit there.
Right.
But Dash really made them fit in.
I had not high hopes there when they came out with Dash. I was like, this is not the way.
No.
Mm-hmm. And then Salamat's just a ballad. I didn't really care. It's a ballad.
Yeah.
And then Lovey Dovey, we turned it around, because that's like a more cute, upbeat, fun song. And I was like, okay, if that's the direction we're going to go instead, that's fine.
We're okay with it. And then we got 16. And I like 16.
16 is very, I really like 16. Actually,
I enjoy
it's very
it a
nice,
lot.
Very nice song. It's like, it is a more on the upbeat side. It's not quite as cute as Lovey Dovey was, but it's just a very, it's very in the, like, the male teen crush genre of song.
They kind of remind
Very nice. Very nice.
I enjoy them. Also, I have found another boy group.
Another one.
I found one. It's another. We can get them out of the way real fast right now, because they are related to Horizon, because an MLD group called New ID
Oh yeah, I didn't hear about that.
Members of Dreammaker. They debuted on September 22nd. They're fine.
They just made a second one from the show.
Yeah, they made a second group out of that show.
Interesting. Okay. So they did like a DX teen type situation.
Yes.
Where Lapone took like produced people and then just made an extra group. That's kind of what happened.
I am listening to their song right now. It sounds like a song I know.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot place what song this is.
Interesting. What is the name of it?
ER. Here.
Interesting. I know what you mean. It sounds so familiar.
I don't know what's... It sounds like a cover. It sounds like an MBLAQ song, to be honest. But yeah, no, another... So this is another Filipino group to talk about.
Yeah, they're not bad or anything.
Update. We have 29 boy groups.
Well, I do know of another, if we really want to up it to 30, because I did find them before, but I didn't add them to the list, but I'll put them in on the script like at the end because they did debut recently.
Okay.
We might as live update the groups to 30.
Let's do it. Why not? So we've now added in a new ID. They're fine. I like MLD varying up what they're doing. Because, like, for a while, it was looking bleak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a good... I do find it very interesting that they focus so Filipino-heavy.
Right.
But I do think that does come from the success that Momoland saw in the Philippines, which was insane.
Probably, yeah.
So I guess that, you know, they just got a foothold there and sort of ran with it.
Right. I mean, I don't think they're doing bad or anything. I don't think that they're going to have a lot of, they probably won't have that much popularity. MLD doesn't have enough, like, company clout.
MLD doesn't have the clout for this.
To do anything for them, really, anyway.
MLD, they're going to exist for a while.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to, MLD somehow knows how to keep their groups alive for a surprisingly long amount of time, even after they're popular.
Right. Well, I hope that they don't do the thing that they've been doing with, like, Teen Numbers and, like, Momoland especially, where it's like, well, let's make the same song, like, 7 times in a row.
Yeah. I am interested, though, because at this point they have sort of changed a little bit, because, like, Teen Numbers, or TFN now, hasn't done, like, anything.
Right.
So, I don't know, I feel like we're at a weird turning point for MLD.
Yeah.
Because, like, we'll see what they do. We'll see where they focus their energy. I don't know how popular these... Because I know that it says, say, Korea-based Filipino group. I wonder what their popularity is in the Philippines.
I have to imagine that it's probably decent.
Decent?
Considering before New ID, which is kind of them, but just a little bit different from the same company. Because they were the only Filipino idols to begin with, and I feel like, a lot of Southeast Asia, they like to see the representation in K-pop and everything.
I know why we know that new ID song.
Why?
It's a cover of Dalmatians ER.
Oh, is that actually what that is?
That's why I was like, I know this song. It's just Dalmatians ER.
It's just Dalmatians ER.
hey, if you want to watch a video,
that's kind of crazy, actually. That's the song we're gonna cover. That's actually kind of crazy.
Is Dalmatian MLD?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't want the dog breed.
The things you have to specify whenever you Google K-pop groups.
No, they weren't. They have nothing to do with MLD Entertainment.
Is that actually a debut song or is that just a cover?
I don't know, because the K-Profiles is telling me that it's their debut with ER. And there's only one called ER that I see here.
That's so crazy, actually.
Wild,
no,
right?
Yeah, it's called a prologue single, ER. What the hell?
I don't know, man. Who's to say?
Damn, that's kind of crazy.
It's just a cover of Dalmatians ER. And also, if you don't know that, who knows about Dalmatian other than us grandmothers of K-pop?
Right. What a song to pick to cover in the year.
Also, what a song to have left an impression on both of us that we're like, I know this, and it's bothering
me. I mean, the music
me.
Video was kind of crazy.
Oh, it was an amazing music video. For the 10 people watching, yes. Go watch that music video, mm-hmm. please. It's a trip.
Yep.
Also, weirdly, no offense to New ID, they don't give it nearly the amount of emotion that Dalmatian does.
Oh, Dalmatian's ER is one of those, like, it's bringing the drama type of songs. Like, it's one of those, but it's
sexy,
like, it's
sexy drama.
Oh, yeah, but it's like, they can't do that. Like, they no, clearly they can't do that concept, so it's very different sounding.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Moving on from that wild...
tangent.
Wild tangent. So next we have Ensign. So Ensign debuts on August 9th. They're a 10-member K-pop global group under N.CH Entertainment.
Inch?
Sure. I don't know what that means. So they have 6 Korean members, 1 Japanese member, 1 American, 1 Australian, 1 Taiwanese member. And they were formed on the survival show Stars Awakening, which is one of those joint Korean-Japanese survival mm-hmm. shows. And it was originally a project group and then later turned into a permanent group.
And I just put all of their nationalities in here because I'm like, for a global group, that's,
they're still mostly
that's quite
Korean.
A lineup.
Still mostly Korean.
And also
Stars, so whenever a show is a joint Korean-Japan yes. show, I feel like the audience is always focused on Japan, because we
very
never,
much so.
We, those shows are never available to see.
No,
because
you
the
can't
only,
find
I
them
know
at all.
Of another two, one of the other ones was the show that made the group NIK, that show you can't find anywhere, I don't remember the name of it, and then also that FNC band show was a Korean-Japan show, that show is nowhere too, so.
No. A lot of them, if they air in Japan... Other than a produce, which even the produces are super hard to find unless you're talking about the one that's currently airing. Like, you can't find Produce Japan Season 1.
They scrub the internet
of
those after the shows are over.
Clips of that show are scrubbed from the internet, which we gotta watch Produce Japan 3 or else we're never gonna see it.
I know.
Pretty soon. We gotta watch it, like, the week it ends.
We have to get on that sooner rather than later,
Yeah. They scrub that show from the internet and you're only left with your memories and, like, did I remember that correctly?
Right.
Who knows? Maybe that's why we have such detailed videos about those seasons. It's because this is the only...
That's all we got.
It's literally keeping it for posterity.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, they... I mean, the group is... had to have been at least somewhat successful in Japan, and the show was somewhat successful in Japan, because they did turn this group to a permanent thing. They managed to get all the rights sorted out for that.
They did. They are also way more popular than you would expect them to be. They're one of the highest selling groups out of this entire year.
But it is interesting,
but it's because I think they have the Japan
popularity. They have the Japan
popularity
because if you actually look at, like, the K-pop community, both like the international and the Korean one, because I, like, as international K-pop fans, you kind of only have the access of, are you a Western K-pop fan? And then when you look at, well, what do people think of it in Korea? It's really only Korea. There's really no way for us to gauge how popular a group is in, like, Japan or somewhere. Unless you're a BTS Twice, that kind of level group. Like, we only have, we're like, everyone's in their own little bubbles, and it's hard to figure out, like, well, how popular are they in Japan? And I think that they're very popular in Japan.
Yeah, it seems like
which would make sense if that show was fully Japan-based.
Right.
They're an interesting group in terms of our opinions on them.
So because they spent a lot of time figuring out if they were going to be a permanent group or not, they have a lot of pre-debut music.
They do.
So they released, like, a couple of pre-debut digital singles, but they also did a pre-debut mini album and a pre-debut mini album repackage.
They did.
At that point, it's like, okay,
why not? At that
why
point,
are we not just
debuted?
Right, yes. Exactly. And all of their pre-debut music, perfectly normal sounding.
I enjoy it. I actually quite enjoy it.
It's decent sounding music. And then you get the debut song of Wormhole New Track, and it's like, what's happened?
It's bad.
What are we doing?
We don't enjoy it. It's the most confusing song because it's loud.
Yeah, it is for me the worst debut song aggressive. Out of this whole list. It's so loud. It's so loud. It's so noisy. Like, it sounds nothing like any of their pre-debut songs. It is just
objectively might be the worst song on this whole list, given everything all these people have put out.
Oh, probably. It is not good. It's real bad. It's a bad song.
And, like, everything else proves that they are a decent group, that they can do good music. It's just that song was just so odd. It's loud, it's mechanical, which is my bit, like, yeah, truly awful. So
it is
mechanical.
One of those that sounds like it's, like, sampling a construction site. It's one of those type of noise music songs.
Yeah.
It is, it's not great.
The thing I am also interested in is that there's a bunch of these kids that were also, like, in other groups.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, so they're out. This is a permanent group. They're out of... But they're all from such, like, no-name groups. Like,
right,
they were
right.
in With Us, the group. Who?
Uh-huh. Yep.
They were... I had to... Because we live in the K-pop hellscape, I did look at With Us for a second. We're like, didn't we just talk about them? I'm like, no, that was We Us.
Different but similar. Group. Different but similar group, probably.
Captain.
Yep. That's a show.
Choices.
Loud and then, like, World Class and Under 19. So it's like, we got also the, like, survival. The, like, B to C tier survival show gauntlet also.
But it's just really funny that, like, if you're a fan of these, like, super new boy groups...
Yeah.
You'll hear about them going on these shows, and then they'll never leave the group, because who cares? Yep. That group's never coming back.
Yeah, no one is paying attention to that.
No one cares, and it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think they're fine. I think they just need new music, because that's not
better music, please, is what I would say for them.
They're popular, so they're weirdly one of the more popular groups on this list.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so next is... one of our, like, exceptions to the rule. We don't
I think
put...
he is our one exception to the rule this year.
We had two, but then the other one went into a group, so we don't have to care.
Right.
We have Lev.
Mm-hmm.
He debuted on August 18th. He's a Chinese soloist under Chromosome Entertainment. I don't know.
Sure.
Was known as Wang Zihao on Boys Planet and ranked 19th. And then, so he debuted with
I forgot that he was 19th. That's really sad for him.
It is very unfortunate. He, like, just missed the finale.
Mm-hmm.
He debuted with AI Bay, in both Korean and Chinese. Every song he's put out so far has been both in Korean and Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, he kind of feels a little Lay-y.
Yes, he does feel a lot like Lay. Just because he's not, like... an exceptional vocalist, but he is good enough that he's interesting enough to be a soloist in that way.
He doesn't necessarily have the highest level of, like, extraordinary talent.
Right.
He's got a very good amount of stage presence.
Yeah, the stage presence is good. The performance is good. Like, he can perform well enough alone that he is a good soloist. Yeah.
It works. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that he went solo.
Yes.
But then again,
I
do
confusing.
I feel like they're trying him in Korea, but they're probably going to focus more on China soon enough. And in China, you do sort of have to be a soloist.
Yeah, that's true.
To really work. Or in the end, you're going to be in a group for a hot second and then go solo.
Right. They probably also didn't, this whatever company he's in, didn't have enough people to, like, put in a group. So debuting him solo was probably, like, less effort and easier.
It was probably that, or they end up having to have him leave if they don't do anything with him soon enough.
Right.
Though I do like him as the person that went solo. I do like, even on Boys Planet, he stood out quite a bit. I enjoy him.
Yeah, he was fine. He was not one of my favorite people, but, like,
I do remember him. That's
I do remember him being around.
Which, for a 100-person group, that's, like, not nothing.
It's not bad, yeah.
No. Like, I didn't want him in my lineup, but I wouldn't be upset that he's doing great.
Right, that's the thing, is, like, I would never be upset that he was around, because he was pretty decent, yeah.
Next is another one of our exceptions to our rule, because I think this should be a debut.
Right, okay, so we do have a couple of technically pre-debut groups on this list. The first one of them we're going to talk about today being TIOT. I think that's how you pronounce that, capital T-I-O-T.
Sure.
However you pronounce that group name.
Whatever you decide to say.
Yeah, so their pre-debut date was August 23rd. They will officially debut in 2024, supposedly.
We'll talk about them again in 2024. Yes, they will
will go on to the next year list.
But I do think that, I think there's a big misconception. A lot of people think they have debuted.
They have not.
They have not. And two, I think that if we're going to talk about the boys' planet of it all,
right,
we should talk about all the boys' planet of it all, because they real quick turn. They were like one of the after ZB1, they were like they were so quick to put out something.
That company, I think, really was on top of. We need to really capitalize on the boys' planet popularity. They're like, we really need to do all that we can right now.
Yeah.
Because they were doing fan meetings and stuff before even this pre-debut stuff.
Oh, no. So
they were like,
we need to keep these kids relevant.
Yeah.
And I do think the other thing with it is that I think since it was a pre-debut, they kind of decided, let's just put something out as, not that it's low effort. It's very high quality and very high effort, but it's not a debut. Uh-huh. It's a placeholder for now. And I do think that's very smart of them. It keeps them in the public eye this year. But it doesn't put them in the insanity of all the boy group debuts of this year. They're going to have the same amount of attention next year. And that was weirdly smart of their company.
Honestly, because when every single other Boys Planet branch group is rushing to debut at the end of the year, delaying it a little bit into next year, I feel like, is not bad at this point, considering
I think it probably
the
helps
rush
them.
Of boy groups, yeah.
Because it keeps them a little bit, no one's going to forget about Boys Planet in 6 months, but at least they seem fresh. Mm-hmm. I'm not just overwhelmed with Boys Planet.
Right, exactly. So of that group, the most notable member in that group is Junhyun, who was in the finale of Boys Planet.
Yes.
And Minsung from that group, also on Loud. All four of the members were on Boys Planet. That's really
Everybody was
the
there.
Big thing there. And so the pre-debut, I guess, title track of that mini album is Unbeatable. Sure. Pretty good song. Not a
I
bad
do
song.
It. They're a little more rock heavy. I mean, I personally think that as we've learned from every other group that's on this list, your pre-debut music can just be entirely separate from your debut music. They could be a male teen crush when they come back, for all we know.
Right. It could be anything, really.
There's no guarantee, but I would like them to keep this style. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
I got them.
Yep. Your
so
favorites?
Next, my boys. We're up to Rise, another one of the heavy hitters of this year. So they debuted on September 4th, a 7-member boy group under SM Entertainment. Notable members. Oh boy. So we have Shotaro and Sungchan, who are in NCT,
and then got kicked out of
and
NCT.
Then got kicked out of NCT to go do this. And recent developments.
Yep. Yep.
Sung-han has halted all activities indefinitely because he smokes and has a girlfriend, and that's
crazy.
What we're upset about.
Crazy and crazy timeline we live in. And that
what
that's
a
happened.
World we live in. So they debuted with Get a Guitar. They had a pre. Does it count as a pre-debut if it comes a month before your debut?
Because
they had Siren.
So they
before.
Had Siren and was a performance video for the song that never got released. And then they had Memories, which was a digital single pre-debut release. And then they got Get a Guitar. So
even though I think everyone was so happy with Siren, and then they don't sound like that.
They don't sound like that at all.
and then they had a comeback recently with a digital single, Talk Saxy.
Yep.
So here's the thing. Let's start with positives.
Yep.
They're not NCT.
They're not NCT, and that's great for them.
And
love
that's
that they
very
don't sound like NCT.
They've officially put an end to NCT, and for that, and only that, I think.
For that, we have to applaud them for actually bringing an end to the machine that is NCT.
Also, another positive, Sungchan has something to do.
Yes.
I'm happy for Sungchan
and Sunro finally have something to do.
Exactly.
Instead of just like being around in the NCT limbo. Yep.
Just being there.
Yep.
I think that's all the positives I have.
I don't hate Get a Guitar. I think that's a
I don't hate Get a Guitar.
I think that's a fine song.
Yeah, that's just because it's a Queen song.
Yeah.
That's just because it's Another One Bites the Dust. You can, if you start them at the same time, you can over-sing Another One Bites the Dust.
You can definitely sync them up, yeah.
You can sync them. And the weird part is, and this is a weird connection only I have, because it's fucking Rai singing it, the version of Another One Bites the Dust that plays in my head over this isn't the actual Queen version. It's the Glee version, and I think that's worse.
Yep.
Damn you, Jonathan Groff.
Probably because K-pop is just, like, musical Glee. Theater in a way, yeah.
It's very musical theater. It is very Glee. And also, Jonathan Groff is a good singer, so, like, it's not a
love
bad
Jonathan
Glee
Groff,
cover.
Yeah.
We love Jonathan. We're Jonathan Groff fans at this podcast.
Yes, yes.
But it just is Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah, it is. And then we get, like, weird Jason Derulo
bullshit.
Yeah.
I hate Talk Sexy.
It's not good. It's not a good song.
It's raw bad.
Like, as much as Get a Guitar is a fine song, like, Talk Sexy doesn't give me high hopes for the future of what the group's going
to
sound like.
Get a Guitar, to me, just unfortunately makes them look mediocre. Like, one, I think it's a mediocre, like, it's a fine song. The song is fine. Uh-huh. And I think that while, I think that because it's so blatantly almost a cover, it kind of makes them, like, there's no identity. I don't know who Rise is. And, like, I think at least with Siren, which, like, isn't their debut, I kind of had an idea who the group was. And unfortunately, with Talk Sexy, I also have an idea who this group has personality with these other songs. Mm-hmm. One for the good, one for the bad. Because I do think Siren might be their most fine, like, their best song.
Mm-hmm.
At least to me.
Because it's Siren, all Siren is to me is it's, like, worst P1 Harmony. It's, like, so
it
P1
is.
Harmony, but it's
but
not
I'll
quite
take,
as good
I'll
as P1
take
Harmony.
Worst P1 Harmony over what a lot of people are doing.
True.
Talk Sexy is unfortunate.
I don't know what that is about or why
what
it
Talk
is the
Sexy
way it is.
Feels to me is remember when they did Body Talk? Was it Talk Body? Body Talk with Wavy? What was that song called?
I don't know.
The English one where they were talking, where it was just a sex song.
Oh, God, what is that? Oh, God, what is it called? I think it's called, was it called Love Talk? What is that song?
It is called Love Talk. That's what it's called. That song. It feels like that, but trying to, like, revamp it to be, like, I don't know. It just feels like a Jason Derulo song, and that feels 10 years out of date.
It does feel Jason Derulo.
I think
the,
Jason,
like,
Derulo has used that horn
sample.
Line.
It's because of the bad, yeah,
it's the
bad
same.
Sax
He's used
sample.
It.
Yeah.
He's used it. I think you can map it to multiple Jason Derulo songs from the mid-2010s.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Early 2010s? It's 10 years out of date at this point.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
I don't know. I think this is a bunch of SM's problem. I don't know what Rise is yet.
Yeah.
They're decently talented. Like, SM has their pick of the lot with trainees.
Yes. I do want to talk about Shotaro and Sungchan later when we get to another group on this
when
list.
When we get to a different
I think it's related. But
yes. And, yes. Like, I'm happy Shotaro and Sungchan are doing things.
Right.
And here's the thing.
And Rise is decently popular. Like,
no,
they're that new SM boy group. So, like.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, like, I don't think a lot of the problems with, like, recent K-pop, like, bigger K-pop groups. Like, I know that this has been a thing leveled at, like, it mainly the girl groups. I know it's been leveled at Baby Monster recently. I remember it was leveled at NMIX. I remember it was leveled at, like, you and ITZY when they debuted, which is why do these big K-pop groups sound Nugu?
Yeah.
And that's what I'll give Rise. Rise does not sound Nugu. It sounds high quality. It sounds, like, well produced.
They sound very SM. They're so
this
SM.
This is very
boy,
SM.
They're so SM
and
boy group.
I think,
like,
that. And they are
they
on
are.
The level of. Unlike what I think of with the sheer number of NCT trainees, I think all of these Rise kids are on the level of other SM trainees, which I think the main problem with SM has never been their trainees. I think all of them,
right,
with certain exceptions with the fucking stable that NCT became, I think with the, that, like, taking just the core groups, I think you can never say that they are untalented people.
Right, right.
I think they are on par with, like, people that have been put in Red Velvet, who I think are very like, everyone is talented. I think the problem with SM will always be that sometimes they sort of decide to do one thing for 10 years and make everyone do the same thing, even though half of them don't fit the concept. I know. Also, they, unfortunately, I think SM thinks that they're too big to fail.
All of the SM, and
so a lot of things get a little lazy.
All of the problems with SM are the business decisions of SM.
Yes, like, the business decisions of SM destroy my liking of their groups.
Yeah.
And, like, while I would very much love to enjoy Rise, I think that there is a world where I think Rise is a very good group. But I think that is if SM is a different place.
Definitely. Trainees.
Mm-hmm. I know they would have been infants. But, like, transport the boys back to the SM management of, like, I don't know, 2012? Mm-hmm. I think I would have enjoyed I would have enjoyed what Rise put out.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Rise. I think we have slightly of a spicy take in that we're not falling head over heels for them.
But I mean, for this podcast, not surprising.
I feel like we have, like, relatively positive feelings about Rise as opposed to
NCT.
I feel like we just hate NCT. It's not any other SM group.
And, like, it's just and NCT. Chan were not ever my problem with NCT.
No, not at all. I personally think Sungchan was one of the more talented members of NCT, period.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him. Shotaro, a little more middling, but, like, still pretty good.
He's not bad, yeah. So our next group is Even.
Oh, Even.
So they debuted on September 18th. They're a 7-member Korean project group, maybe. Probably. So they're under Jellyfish Entertainment, but they have trainees from Lake One and from Yehua, and also Kaita from Cypher. And they're under Jellyfish Entertainment. So that's the situation.
That's what we've come up with.
Mm-hmm. So Even stands for Evening's Newest. What is this word?
Etoile.
It's something. Etoile.
It's French.
I can't pronounce French.
Etoile. I had to look up how you pronounce this word. Etoile means star in French.
Okay. That makes sense.
I don't know why why does K-pop weirdly go French? It's not English.
It sounds cool.
It's French.
I guess.
Sure.
So all of these members were on Boys Planet.
All of them.
Kaito was / still is in Cypher, questionably. Who's to say
what that situation is like?
Park Hanbin is on Loud, but he was not aired when he was on Loud, so he might as well have not been there.
Nope.
Yoonseo's cousin is Nayeon from Twice, also. That's fun.
Family connections.
Yep. So their debut song was Trouble, and they have not had any comebacks yet.
It's
only been a couple months. They're nice. I like them.
I enjoy them. I like the people in Even a lot more than I like the music of Even. Not that I don't like it. I like Trouble just fine.
Yes, yes.
Though it's not a song I go back to a lot. It's a little too noise for... It's not full noise, but it's a little too... It's on the line of noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're all quite talented. They have good vocalists, good rappers.
This is the JBJ of the Boys
It is
Planet.
The JBJ. I remember there was the biggest question whether or not this is a project group. We finally got that answered that yes, it's a project group.
Yes, but we don't know how long of a project group.
I feel like they're a project group until the Yehua kids gotta go when the Yehua trainees come back.
Yeah.
They're gonna pull him, and I think that's when all this is gonna fall apart.
I know.
They're nice. I kind of want them to switch up the style a little bit, because I think that they can... Now that I know they're here for a limited amount of time,
right?
I kind of want to see them do everything, but, like, super quick.
Yeah, I don't really know what is going on with them, because it has been so unclear what the plans for the group are, unfortunately. But I do want them to stay around for a bit, and I would love for them to be a little bit less noisy.
I
would like for them.
I would kind of like them to do what JBJ did, which is sort of, like, go through very distinct, very quick styles.
Yes.
And never, like, linger too long in one place. Because, again, you're going to be temporary anyway, might as well have the best of everything.
Exactly.
I'm
really here for the Kaitan, the Park Hanbin.
Very much so.
And then also we are mainly concerned from Yehua also here.
Always forget
that I forget that he's there every single time.
Me too. I forget he was there on Boy's Planet and then he appears and sings half the song.
Right.
Because he's a great vocalist.
He's also
I get very
here.
Happy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Park Hanbin and Kaita are the two people I'm worried about, mainly because God knows what's going on with Kaita in his management life.
Right.
And also, I want Park Hanbin to stick around, and yes. I'm just scared that they are going to, like, I don't know, I think Park Hanbin would be perfectly good as soloist.
Yeah.
I think they could do it.
Park Hanbin being in Wake One is the most concerning
part.
It's
concerning.
It's very concerning.
Because, like, Wake One has enough trainees to make a group. I don't know if they're maybe waiting for Tayri to come back and then put that all out as a more of a collective.
Right.
And then
I don't
this
know.
Just keeps Park Hanbin in the public consciousness.
Right.
Because Park Hanbin was so good on Boy's Planet.
So good. Came in 10th place on Boy's Planet, unfortunately for
if
him.
If this wasn't a traditional produce group, he would be in the group because the group would be slightly bigger. The group would be 12.
Yeah.
And he'd be there, and Kaita wouldn't be there, which is unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
Kaita would have just missed it, which is sad. I don't know. I like them. I want to see more from them. I'm excited because they do seem to be due for a comeback.
Yeah.
Around now.
Right.
Given it's been a couple months, but I'm excited. It'll come in the new year, probably.
Yeah, well, we really just have to see with them. We don't really, yeah. I can't really.
I hope it lasts at the very least until the end of the ZB1 era.
I would hope so. I would hope that we go at least until the ZB1 disbandment.
Because it does feel like this is sort of where they're putting a bunch of kids that are waiting for ZB1 kids to come back.
Right.
Because even Jellyfish has to wait for Gunwook to come back before they can even put out their own group.
In Jellyfish, yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like this is just everyone biding their time and, like, trying to get some money while they're waiting for their moneymakers to come back.
Because there was, like, a mass exodus of trainees from Lake One when ZB1 happened. And the ones that stayed around were the ones that got, like, let's make a fun little project group in the meantime to have them do something. Instead of just having to leave that company, because they're clearly not debuting a boy group by themselves
until
ZB1 is disbanding.
Until Tayri comes back.
Right.
Which is funny that, like, love that, but the fact that Yehua's waiting for four kids to come back.
I know,
and
four
Wake
kids,
One,
and
but
Ollie
it's like,
is in China.
And Ollie's in China, but, like, four, like, Zhanghao, Ricky.
Four
like,
massive
the
stars.
Big boys.
Yeah.
And Wake One is rating for love Tayri. Absolutely love
Tayri.
But they're just waiting for Tayri is funny.
And Jellyfish waiting for only Gunwook.
But they have a. Because what? Jellyfish has at least five kids, I think.
The crazy thing is I don't think there's any Jellyfish kids in even. I think,
no,
it's,
I
all,
think so.
It's all Yehua, Wake One, and then Kaita. And
well,
it's crazy that Jellyfish is managing
great.
Them just for fun. Like,
those Jellyfish kids didn't do great because all these
well,
even
maybe
kids
they,
were
well,
like
maybe they
in
needed,
the finale
like,
or like right below.
Yeah, they all did very well.
They did very well.
Maybe they needed like a neutral third party to manage the group is
maybe.
What they were
maybe
going
they're
for.
Like, look, we
know.
Have to actually manage ZB1. It's a conflict right. of interest if we also manage even.
A separate project group,
I think this is like subletting. It's like when you sublet an apartment, they're like, look, give us a little bit of the cash on the back end and you can have them.
Right.
Because like Yehua's probably like, look, might as well have this kid earn some money.
True.
While we're just sitting here waiting while Ollie's
biding time, yeah.
While Ollie's also over there in the corner.
Right.
I like the fact that also, support Ollie and Asia Super Young, everybody. We're very excited for him. We love him. He's doing amazing. But also, I like that because of how the China seasons work, I feel like Ollie still has to do the entirety of that show and probably make it in that group. And that group still might end around the same time that ZB1 ends because the China groups last for a hot second.
That could be a 9-month long ordeal for all we know.
Yep. And also, it might be fully non-exclusive that they can just be like, well, Ollie, we're pulling you now. You're going on hiatus until
the end. It's time
to
leave, yeah.
It's time to go home, Ollie. It's like when your mom just puts you at the playground. It's like, no,
come. And always in Yehua. Yehua can do that shit in China.
Yehua's allowed to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Yehua sent, like, 15 trainees to ages super young. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
I think it was 12. I think they got 12 out of 64 kids on that show.
That's an insane statistic.
Yep.
Then again, at this point, they just keep doing
But they're winning. They're winning.
They're winning. All right. How do I keep getting them?
I know. It's really unfortunate.
All right, next is Fantasy Boys. Ugh. Debuted on September 21st, an 11-member Korean group under Pocket Doll Studio. All of them come from the survival show Fantasy Boys.
Yep.
Junwon, who ranked first, left before the group debuted, so they were a 12-member group. Now they're an 11-member group.
Love that for him. Love that he got out of that.
Good. So, notable members. All of them are from Fantasy Boys. K-Soul was on Super Idol and We Are Young and is of unknown age.
We still don't know.
We still don't know.
No clue how old he is.
It feels wrong because there's 13-year-olds in that group.
Yep. Multiple.
Ling Chi was on Idol Producer. We love Idol Producer. And weirdly, Ling Chi's the only person in this group that I feel bad for and liked.
I know. Because of the racism. He faced a lot of racism.
So much racism. And then Woo-suk is the younger brother of Major's member, Suzy. If that means anything to you, Godspeed.
Uh-huh.
Means nothing to me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So Fantasy Boys.
Yeah.
They debuted with New Tomorrow. It was fine.
Yep.
It was fine. Then they came back with Potential. And I hated it.
Hate that a lot.
It's so concerning.
It's so sexy. And I was like, this is, like, not the kind of song they can be doing when they have multiple 13-year-olds and a 14-year-old in the group. Like, it's absolutely not what they should be doing.
It's a bad song to do as a group of some adults and some children.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, pseudo-sexy, like, sensual, which is almost worse.
It's worse. I think it's a little bit worse in a way, yeah. It is not good for them.
Also, everything that they do has the budget of a sandwich.
I have so many gripes with everything that this group does. Number one, I find it so funny that their official YouTube channel has an underscore in it for no reason. I just find it funny.
That they couldn't get Fantasy Boys.
Because Fantasy Boys is for Fantasy Boys the show, maybe.
Which,
so they
again,
had to put an underscore in it.
Which, again, my main question is, you can't call season two Fantasy Boys.
Nope.
If you get a season two, which, it's questionable if you're going to get a season two.
I hope they don't, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Also, the way they name their music videos is awful.
Bad.
It's like, I don't know if they're trying to have better search engine optimization, but the way that they're naming it is they put the whole title of the album before it tells you what song you're listening to.
So to give it a perspective, the title for their first song, New Tomorrow, is Fantasy Boys' first mini album, bracket, New Tomorrow, close bracket, New Tomorrow music video.
Crazy.
It sounds like a Wish ad.
It's so stupid. Like, I hate it. Like, that's the way their official music videos are being named. Like, what are we doing?
It's truly insane. They did the same thing with Potential.
Yep.
It's interesting because, like, we watched the show.
We podcasted the show
because at some point we were like, we need to get this out into the world and two, get something out of it.
Right.
It was therapy a little bit. So at the end we were like, I don't have that much faith in what's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was right. Because, like, while New Tomorrow is fine,
right,
it's also one really Nugu sounding. And when I say really Nugu sounding, what characterizes, like, what makes something sound Nugu isn't necessarily that it's, like, that it is noise or that it's cute or that it's anything. It is specifically the quality. Mm-hmm. It sounds chopped together. It's kind of not that well mixed. It just feels like it was done on the cheap.
I also feel like it's so obviously trying to be, like, ZB1, but, like, we're in, like, discount, like, dollar store ZB1. Like, really cheap ripoff of ZB1.
It's trying to be, like, cuter ZB1.
Yeah. And it's, like, I feel like since Fantasy Boys, the show ended, that's kind of what they're trying to do. It's even from their logo. Their logo is also Discount ZB1 logo.
It is.
Like,
and then you get potential.
Yeah.
Which is them being like, well, the cute didn't work, so let's pivot.
Right. The pivot didn't need to be to sexy. Like, they could have gone so many other directions before they went sexy. Like...
And also the thing
especially
is...
Especially the children in that group.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, like, it's... Like, they're as sexy as they can be, but with a child. So then they have to show at least restraint with the children. And then at that point, it just feels like a weird, like, what is going on?
Like, what is this?
Like, you're committing, but half committing, but, like, some people are fully committing, and then some, like, then there's a child.
But then you have three children in the corner. Like, it's, like... And, like, there's probably a couple other kids who are, like, 16, 17 years old in this group, too. The children we're talking about are 13 and 14.
Exactly. Like, there's no excuse to do this. And then also at the same time, why are we, taking all of that out of account? The whisper singing makes me uncomfortable.
I know. I don't. It's just a bad song regardless.
It's a bad song no matter how you slice it.
Everything about the group just sucks. Like, I hate that they're around. I really try to not pay attention to them.
And the problem is you end up with, like, some of the least talented kids in that group ended up in the group.
I know.
And, like, they're all doing their best, but the problem is so many of them are not ready.
No.
The children aren't ready. Like,
everything surrounding the creation of that group on that show was already setting them up to fail.
I remember Caden, who we felt really bad for. What's the other child's name?
Yurei's the other one.
Yurei, who came in second place
and is now technically the center of the group because Junwon left.
Yep. Oh, God. That's so unfortunate. But, like, looking at Yurei, looking at Caden, both of them I feel the most bad for. Because, one... Caden is foreign. Caden is a child in a foreign
land.
Caden,
like, does, like, barely speaks Korean. Like, very,
Caden is
very
here
little Korean
and I feel
skill.
Bad.
Yeah.
And then you have Yurei, who a bunch of people on that show were actively hostile to.
Actively bullying a child on the survival show.
Yeah. So, like, that concerns me.
Yeah.
And, like, I hope that these people have grown and realized what they did to a child and are like actually treating him like a member of the group. Dear God, please. But at the same time, you're dealing with these two kids.
Yuntae is the other one who is one year older than the other.
He's
than 14. Yurei and Caden. Yeah.
Those three kids are now being put in a position where it's like, well, you do this or this is what you're doing.
Yep.
And that's super unfortunate. Like, I don't think anybody should be pressured to do this kind of concept. We've seen it before. We've seen it especially with girl groups where, like, you're pressured to do the sexy concept. But there's a different level when you're dealing with a child.
Yeah.
A child who does not know what they're signing up for. Mm-hmm. Who probably thinks they're grown. You ain't grown. You're a child. I don't know, man.
I just don't like anything about them. It's bad.
It just and
it's not their fault except for Kaesol. Everything is Kaesol's fault.
Everything's Kaesol's. I blame Kaesol for most problems.
Yeah, like that. He's another thing. But
the other thing I'm gonna say, and this is the part that's gonna be a little how do I say this? It's the part that does also give me the most pause. Which is that potential did exponentially worse than, what's it called? Than New Tomorrow did?
That's good.
Which is good. But then, do you double down? What's the next step? Do we pivot back?
Like, what happens there? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do we pivot from there? Because it's concerning.
Only time will tell.
Because I'm looking here, we don't have sales data yet, but at least in charting, potential didn't even chart, which it shouldn't have.
And also music video views, like the potential
views are
so much worse.
Yeah. Obviously your debut usually gets you the most attention. People like, oh, a new group debuted? Wonderful. And then you won't come back for the comeback. Uh-huh. I wish I hadn't come back for the comeback.
I know.
But it's literally part of my hobby. I was going to say job, and I'm like, this ain't a job. I don't get paid for this.
Right.
Which is worse. We do this for fun.
I know.
It's It's very unfortunate for us.
I know.
But I can only hope that those children are safe.
Yeah, that's all I hope for. I don't honestly have high hopes considering the company.
I don't.
The situation,
but like at the very least, I hope the children are safe. I hope all of, to be honest, I hope all of them are safe.
Yep, yep.
But the children should be protected.
Oh God.
Moving along, this is where New ID would have gone if we had done it in chronological order, but so like they were a surprise.
Surprise. And so then we move on to Twos, T-O-Z, if you will. So they are a four-member Japanese group under YY Entertainment, stands for To Our Zone. The notable members is all of them are from Boys Planet. Anthony was also on Produce Japan Season 2, and Haruto was on Loud. The other two members of that group are Takuto. Most people know who he is. And then also Yuto, who came in 91st place on Voice Planet.
A weird placement that keeps coming up.
Yep. Apparently, Japanese contestants placing 91st on Produce is very common for some
reason. It does well for them.
On Korean Produce.
And then also, doing well a little later.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they debut with their song,
Magic Hour. It's a mini album. Very cute. So cute.
Oh, I love them.
Love them so much. They're adorable.
If you watched any of our... I feel like if you watch our Boys Planet episode, I said, like, well, we talked so much about all of the boys and all of these brand groups. I'm like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
You were on such a time crunch. You only talked about the ZB1 boys.
We speed ran that
episode,
and then
we speed ran it. And then also, we've just had multiple hours and hours long conversations about Boys Planet on our own time.
Just on the side
that talks
for fun.
About these that were not recorded for the public.
Exactly. Love Anthony.
I love
him so much. He's adorable.
Anthony
is an icon.
Stood out to us from the minute he walked on screen.
Yes.
Maybe because we subconsciously recognized him.
I knew he was on Produce Japan Season 2, but I wasn't paying like super close attention to him on Produce Japan Season 2.
No, but I think specifically the fact that like he was in a lot of that show.
He was.
Maybe we subconsciously.
He made it really far into Produce Japan 2.
Well, he was like right behind Center Boy in the Pikmin.
He was.
He's
like
right
there, yeah.
Maybe we, again, I think we subconsciously recognized him, even though we couldn't put it to face.
And I was like, because
I can't
adorable.
Remember anything he did on Produce Japan.
No, I don't.
But I remember a lot of what he did on Boys Planet.
Exactly. He doesn't get any screen time on Boys Planet, though, which is really unfortunate for him.
Except when he's next to Haruto, because Haruto gets so much screen time.
Yes, Haruto gets all the screen time on Boys Planet.
And they just sort of, they were like a little duo for a hot second, and I love them.
Because they're the Wake One Japanese boys,
yes,
so they
we
were.
We love them.
They were there. They were part of the Wake One mass exodus after Boys Planet.
And like, I think this went really well for them because now they're like in Twos. They're having a fun time.
They're back in Japan now, which is probably better for all of them anyway.
Even though I think this video might have been filmed in Korea.
It looks like it could have been. I have no clue.
I
honestly,
I can't tell anymore.
I have no clue what entertainment company this is that they're under.
I don't know, but they do fall very much into the KJ-pop route.
KJ-pop.
A little more into the J-pop side than the, like, if we're on the line, they fall a little on the J-pop than the K-pop line, but still very KJ-pop.
I feel like when we do our KJ-pop episode next year, we should, like, put all the groups on a graph of, like, how K-pop versus how J-pop.
I feel like we should like also figure out a different axis so we can do like those like square graphs.
Yes. Yeah, a square.
I don't know what the other graph the other axis is.
I think it's we go also like if it sounds like American pop music, like Western pop music as well, taking that into consideration.
Sounds like Western pop music, but K-pop blank.
Right.
Doesn't sound like Western pop music, but J-pop
yes.
other corner.
Yes.
That
yes.
works. I think we should do
this.
I think
that's the way.
I think we should do that graph. My other option was, do we like them?
Yeah, oh, true, true. We could also do that.
We'll figure it out. That's a fun graph to make.
Yes.
Because they're fun. I enjoy them a lot.
They're really cute. Their TikTok is also really fun.
Oh, it's insane.
I get their TikToks a lot when I'm on my...
I also really like Takuto outside of a competition setting.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, even for as many of the Boys Planet kids that we didn't like while we were watching the show... That's entirely because it was a competition setting. That's not entirely because of who they are as people.
I know.
Because, like, Takuto's, I love in this group.
Yes.
He's the same, it's the same problem I had with other KJ pop boy, Taki. yes. from Island and from uh-huh. And Team.
Right, right.
And Audition, whatever that show was called. Uh-huh. It's the same issue. I don't like necessarily a bunch of people in competition settings, but that doesn't mean we don't like them in other settings.
Outside of that setting,
outside yeah. of that.
Right.
And also just some people are bad at competition, as you can see from most reality shows.
Yep, yep.
I don't know, I love them. I don't.
They're so cute.
There's so much less to say about a group where I have no notes, just vibes. I know.
They have one mini album. It's very, I love it. It's so cute. I enjoy it. I love them. They're great.
No notes, just vibes.
No notes, just vibes.
So now we get to a group that's like a little different. They got different vibes. I like them.
Different vibes.
So we got POW. POW. They debuted on October 11th. They're a 5-member group under Grid Entertainment. Notable members. So we got Yorch, who was in HYBE's pre-debut group Trainee A. And Dongyeon was in Loud, because Loud is
on Loud is always. Everywhere. And it's like now we're seeing the replacements from, like it used to be like Mix 9. Now it's Loud, I
now
think.
Now it's Loud.
The Loud kids are everywhere.
Yeah. So they debuted with Dazzling, but they had some pre-debut songs because they had Favorite and Amazing both come out.
Both of those are great songs.
They're chill, man. I like them.
They're good. I like them a lot.
Their debut song, The worst of the three, yes.
Yeah.
But also, like, the most chill debut song I've heard. Like, when you debut a group, you usually try to put out, like, the most in-your-face, yeah. eye-catching thing imaginable.
It's a very confusing debut song, honestly, that's the choice they made. Especially hearing it after Amazing and Favorite.
Yeah. Because
the vibe of those two songs is so different than Dazzling.
Dazzling feels like I should listen to it while walking through a field.
Yes.
Just I don't know where I would go to get to a field, but I should be in a field.
Or just, like, walking down, like, a European alleyway and it's snowing or something. Like, that also is the vibe
should
of that
song. Should
be walking
children in nature.
Yeah.
Oh, God. They're great. No.
They're good.
Favorite's really good. I think Amazing might be my favorite of the three. But, no, I'm like, what? Another group where I weirdly, I don't know what the vibe fully is yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they don't have enough songs yet. Yeah.
They don't. And, like, they're not a group that's, like, fully... I think they know who they are. I think they know it works. And they don't care that it's not the most eye-catching.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like a lot of groups, you debut with, like, the most eye-catching thing. You try to get everybody. You try to be loud and in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of settle into, like, okay, this is what we're going to do forever.
Right.
POW didn't feel the need to do that. They're like, if you're on for the ride, come on. If you're not, bye.
Uh-huh.
I'm into it.
They're nice.
And the thing is, they're unfortunately gonna get lost.
Yeah. Especially debuting in this year, debuting in the second half of 2023.
Debuting around the SM debuts and all the Boys Planet
branches. Yeah, it's a lot.
It's so unfortunate. And I really enjoy them.
I know. Because it's like, even the Boys Planet branch groups, some of those are going to get lost in here. So the ones that don't have any Boys Planet members are, like, really going to get lost.
Yeah. It's so unfortunate because I've heard no one talk about POW.
No one. Absolutely no one talks about them.
And I'm just so happy for them. Because I'm like, they're good.
They're so nice.
They're very talented. They're very chill. I think a lot of K-pop fans maybe need a chill group to add to the...
Right.
They're good to have on, like, a playlist.
They are. They're nice.
I do. Walk children in nature with POW. Mm-hmm. Again, we're really in the section of I have no notes. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Also,
I have notes.
Some of
these
groups
two.
Have such little music that there's not a lot that can even be said.
I am happy to see Yorch. I'm happy to see Trainee A.
Yeah, happy for Yorch doing something.
I am interested to see how many of them end up in the Pledis group, because I do think some of them are still under HYBE, so I do think that's where they're going to end up. Very excited for that Pledis group. Very happy that Pledis group decided to wait.
Thankfully, that is also not happening this year.
I like that HYBE was like, no.
No.
Looked at the schedule and was like, no.
Nope, not the time right now.
No. I still want a January 1st debut. No one would do it because it's the worst day to debut.
It's a terrible
New Year's
day.
But it would be hilarious if someone decided to do a New Year's debut.
Yeah.
Start off strong. That's what Baby Mazer should have done.
I know.
Would have been funny.
It would have.
Here we do have a group that we do have notes for.
Yep.
Not many, but some
Not
notes.
Many, but some. So,
some questions, too.
Yep, so our next group, so it's pretty new goo, the next group. One of the most Roll new goo of this half of the list. We have 82 Major.
Oh, so, 82.
82 Major debuted on October 11th. They're a six-member Korean group under Great M Entertainment. Notable members, Sungbin was on Show Me the Money 11, and Yechan is the younger brother of P1 Harmony's Kiho, and he very much feels like a nepotism plant in this group,
even
the
though
situation
it's the
surrounding.
Weirdest, it's the weirdest thing imaginable to nepotism plant a member of P1 Harmony's brother.
In a group in a company that P1 Harmony, like, he's, this is not FNC Entertainment, this is another, nope. This is just some random ass company.
If we were gonna nepotism plant him, he should have been Ampers in one, but
right.
He's not Ampers in one level.
But, like, this, his brother, Yechan, was not in any pre-debut
no,
promotional
not
material
at all.
Until right before the debut date, and they officially announced the members, and all of a sudden he was,
and we're talking,
he was there.
He wasn't in pre-debut songs that they
no,
made.
No, nothing.
Nothing. And I, because when we do this list, like, chronologically as it happens, probably starting in, like, June, July, so, like, anything that happens in the second half of the year, we're sort of putting on the script chronologically.
Uh-huh.
And I learned about 82 Major, and I was like, where the fuck is he?
Right.
I showed him to Kayla, and I'm like, Kayla, find him, because I don't know.
Where is he at? He's very, he's not giving any type of impression in this group. He's, like,
one,
present.
He isn't. But the other thing is that, like, one, you can't find him, and two, it's like, where is he?
Where is
in
he?
In the pre-debut stuff. Like, you'd think that
there.
We would have met him.
Yeah.
And now post-debut, they sort of have been leaning in a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. For the most part, I'm a little meh.
Yeah, their debut song was First Class. It's a weird song. It's like, weird noise music type of song. It's not like obnoxious noise music, but it
no.
is noise music.
It
it's kind of weird sounding.
It is. It's questionable. It feels, you know how I said POW doesn't try to be in your face and they just, you're here for the vibe or you're not?
Right.
82 Major is like the most, if you told me like, well, on paper, what should a K-pop debut show? And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, it should be loud. It should be this. It should be eye-catching. I'm like, I see you trying to do all that just with $5.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, that's the main issue here. It's Nugu
no,
sounding because it's
no
trying
budget.
To do all the things that you have to do for a debut.
Right.
Just without the budget of a
no
debut.
No budget. Yep.
No budget. It's very Nugu. I don't hate it. I
don't
like,
hate it.
I like parts of it.
They've got exactly two songs because this is a single album debut. And then the
yeah.
B-side is, like, fine. It's in the, like, chill kind of song vibe, so it's not the noise vibe, but it's just, they're a weird group. They're, like, a weird little group.
They are.
And P1 Harmony's Kyo's brother is also here.
They are present.
For fun.
They are here.
Yep, definitely gonna get forgotten about. Like,
oh, definitely.
100% gonna get forgotten about. If we
thought POW was gonna get lost in the shuffle, 82 Major is also going to get lost in the shuffle.
This is the group on this list I've actively forgotten about the most. Like, they
Same.
Are really, like, I barely remember they're here half the time.
Same. It's very unfortunate
the
for
main,
them.
The only thing that ever keeps me remembering them is the fact that
Kiho's brother.
Kiho's brother is here, and it's kind of a nepotism plant. Like, it's very weird.
In the weirdest way, a nepotism plant.
Yeah.
How does this keep happening?
Yeah, you have really got the worst ones for
I
this
do.
Episode.
So this one's like another kind of asterisk because they've kind of debuted, but also, depending on how their debut actually goes, who knows if their real debut will end up on this list.
Oh yeah, who knows?
It's still, we still reserve judgment on whether
exactly.
or not NCT subunits count as debuts.
I know.
Especially 9 years in or whatever the fuck we are.
How
so,
many years are we in?
That would have been 20.
We'll be 8 years in. We'll be in 8 years into NCT next year, so.
Yep. Again, 9 years was hyperbole, but also not that far off.
But actually not really.
All right, so NCT New Team. Technically debuted October 9th. They're a six-member SM boy group, which is probably gonna be NCT Japan.
Very
That's probably
vague.
The unit that they're gonna make.
Probably, but, like, we don't really know what
But,
that
like,
is.
With the advent of NCT, who knows? And also, uh-huh. Wasn't NCT supposed to end this year? Apparently not.
Who knows what's going on?
SM is really turning into YG, where I will trust no statements until I see results.
I trust nothing until it actually happens. Mm-hmm.
So they were formed on NCT Universe La Start? Mm-hmm. Question mark? If that's what that show was even called.
Yep.
Notable members?
Nobody.
Kind of none of them, because they're new, but also apparently I should have known two of them, because they were deemed as so necessary to the group, they got to skip the whole audition process.
And this is where I feel like I need to bring up Shodaro and Sung-chan again, because...
This is where we do.
Because this show was definitely written to have Shodaro and Sung-chan in those two spots that were going to debut. And then when they decided they were going to pull them out of NCT and put them into Rise to
they
bring
realized
about
that
the
they
death
were
of
too
NCT.
In on this, they were too in on the show structure that they couldn't change it.
I feel like they were so far in as like, well, we can't change the show structure because it doesn't make any sense anymore. So they just picked two random boys who were next in line. And it was like, you get to be in the group now and everyone else has to go through the show still. But...
So here's the funny thing. And this is something that we have to sort of say. We were gonna possibly do an episode on NCT La Start.
Yeah, because we did watch it. We watched it.
And, like, the weird thing is, we watched it, and I think most NCT fans didn't even watch it.
Most
they
NCT
don't care.
Fans didn't know it was happening. Because
and
it
also,
was also
didn't care.
Like, it was also locked behind Viki Premium.
Which
Western audiences, which is kind of a crazy move.
Which is the thing that, like, is also the reason we watch it, which is because I already have, I pay for that for different reasons. Uh-huh. So it's like, if we were gonna have to pay for it, I just don't want anybody under the assumption that we paid to watch this show to watch the show. And I'm like, no, please.
We just happened to do that because we already consume other
Viki
Asian
Premium.
Content. Yeah.
Yeah, I already just have Viki Premium for other reasons. I was not gonna go do, I wasn't gonna pay for this separately, please.
Yep.
I don't cast aspersions on my character. Yep, and also, we didn't steal it. That's the other thing. Because, like, it's not worth it for this.
No.
But the thing with this group is that, you know how I said Rise? SM has the cream of the crop. They're great. They're good.
Yeah.
I think that they could be good with this.
Discount Rise.
This is B team.
Yeah.
This is B. These are the kids that were not on the par for Rise or Japanese. Mm-hmm. That's the other option, because this is going to be NCT Tokyo.
Right.
So you just throw them in here and are like, well, we can just add them to NCT. Honestly, at this point, C team. Because they're going to be C team NCT. These kids are going to be put at such a disadvantage, having been put 7 years in
There's
into
definitely
NCT.
There's definitely going to be a subsection of NCT fans who refuse to accept them into NCT. Like, I already see that's probably
going to
happen.
There is going to be a subsection of NCT fans that does not know who they are.
Yes.
That will never learn their names.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they're going to ship them off to Tokyo, too. Then, like, they're really done for.
I mean, there's
there.
A subsection of NCT fans that don't engage with Wavy content.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And Wavy has interacted with real NCT.
Often.
With, like,
main...
It's weird, because it's almost like main branch NCT. Because, like, I think...
Right.
It's unfortunate. It's the way SM has set it up, that 127 is sort of main branch NCT.
Yeah.
I think that then you get B-Team... Not B-Team, because they're the most popular. But
right.
Dream is not the main branch NCT. Mm-hmm. And then you get Wavy off in the corner. And these kids are going to be off in the basement.
Yeah, it's like...
fighting for food.
Forgotten stepchildren of SM Entertainment. Like,
they're like that kid your mom had when you were 15. You're like, what? Why is there such a big age gap here?
I also feel like it's kind of disrespectful that Jisung isn't the maknae of NCT anymore. He had that title
for so long.
NCT's career.
It's so unfortunate.
After having added so many more people to NCT, Jisung still had it.
And now he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Again, I think that this is this is SM not wanting to lose a bunch of their trainees because they knew that they were going to debut Rise. They knew Rise wasn't going to be big like they were making. They knew Rise wasn't going to be 10, 12 people.
Right.
So then you keep the trainees by throwing them a bone and putting them in NCT. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know. It just feels, this is why a group like NCT doesn't work in the K-pop industry. It's because these kids will never reach the NCT heights. None of them are going to be Mark.
Nope.
That's also probably why Shotaro and Sungchan were probably more happy to be in Rise than in this.
I know. Because they're just like sitting around. They're like, in Rise. With the C team at that point. Yeah. So
it's just unfortunate for all of them. I think they're perfectly fine trainees. Like, not saying that they're, just because I'm calling them B team and like not Rise level doesn't mean I'm saying they're bad. But like, you listen to this and you listen to Rise and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's
everything about that is like, feels like lower effort. Like, there's not a lot of effort being put into them currently.
And like, is it because it's the NCT IP you don't have to put as much effort in as you would if this is a brand new group you're trying to sell people on?
Who's to say, honestly?
Who's to say about that? That's above my pay grade. I don't make these groups.
Uh-huh.
Even though, hey, SM Entertainment, you want some consulting? I got you. Mm-hmm. I could do it. But like, overall, it just feels like, not that they're set up for failure, but they're not set up for the success that they could have had.
Yeah.
And then also, it kind of feels kind of rude to put them out barely a couple months after Rise.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, they're not. I don't know. It just feels like, let Rise happen. Let Rise have the year. Like, very few companies can juggle.
We don't need to do, like, 1.5 boy groups this year. Like, we could have just done Rise, and then we didn't need to air Lestart this year either. Like, and exactly. Once they took Shotaro and Sungchan out of NCT, like, they really didn't need to do the NCT Tokyo stuff this year. That could have waited easily.
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels very half-baked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
God. All right.
All right, next group is the other last-minute group I added to this, because I found them earlier this week. It felt too late to want to put them on this episode, but then we just decided to do it now, 40 minutes ago.
I've seen this, I just haven't, I didn't realize that they were new.
Yep. So, they're kind of new, kind of not new, because they've been around since 2021, so this is Catch the Young. They are a five-member band, like, actual band under Evermore. Band, plays instrument kind of band. Hi-Fi Unicorn type band. They're under Evermore Entertainment. Band. They've been around since 2021. Have had multiple member changes since then. And they also went on the show The Great Soul Invasion in 2022. And then they debuted on November 1st with the song Cactus Boy. I think that's the debut song. I honestly don't know that for sure. Yep.
Because, like, there is, like, Cactus Boy, there's Youth, there's so many. There's a lot going on here.
They are giving me nothing. Like, nothing about their music.
It's giving This Is a Band.
It's a band, period. Like, that's all I got. I'm like, it's a band. Like, they're a band.
I don't see the, I don't know what makes them different than any other garage band that I've heard in my life.
Uh-huh. Like, they're not bad, but, like, truly so forgettable for me. I'm like, there's nothing here that is, like, that stands out to me in any type of a way, honestly.
And I think that the one thing about, like, Korean bands a lot of times is that I feel like they can do a lot of, like, there's something about them that makes them different and unique and fun. Yeah. And this is giving, we're a band, period.
Yep, that's it. That's all I got from them. They're a band.
They need a little more personality.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how well they did on Great Soul Invasion. I assume they didn't do that well, because I don't remember hearing about them on that show. Because I know that's the one where we went on and had beef with Nam Taehyun. Yeah.
Who would have thought that was the show that gives us beef?
Yep.
Nam Taehyun was a little bitch on that show.
He was a little bitch on that show. He was not.
He was just out here saying shit, and I'm like, why are you speaking? Moving on. We got Hwib.
Hwib.
We've decided to call them Hwib. Very, very, because it's W-H-I-B.
It's a combination of white and black is the name. That's how they got Hwib.
Hwib. All right. So they debuted on November 8th. They're an 8-member Korean boy group under CJES, CJES Entertainment. Notable members are that Jinbum and Inhyung were on YG Treasure Box, because that's another show that won't die.
Nope. Will not die.
Nope. So they debuted with Bang, and then they had a pre-release song called Dizzy. I like Dizzy. I think Dizzy's quite good.
I like
this
both
is
of
a
them.
Group that just came out of fucking nowhere.
Really came out of nowhere and just were like, hello, we're here now.
Hi, we're here. Hello. And I'm like, what? Why?
This
Why
is another
do we have so many people.
So many groups. Honestly, they're one of the groups who are like way better than they have any right to be
oh,
given
absolutely.
How new
they
are.
I enjoy them.
I really like
them.
Quite a lot. They're good. I really like both the debut song and Dizzy. I think they're both really good.
They're like noise in a good way.
Yeah.
And we like that. Anytime
like
I
that.
See noise that I enjoy, they give kind of 24K vibes to me.
A little bit.
Like, if 24K had been allowed to continue.
Uh-huh.
And not in their current form of 24K
plus. 24K plus, which is not 24K.
Which is not 24K.
Yep.
But it kind of feels like what they would be doing if they were allowed to keep going. Or if 24K plus was 24K.
Right. Who's to say?
happy that they decided to add the plus sign. Thank God.
Thankfully.
Can you imagine? Yeah. I mean, if they hadn't, they'd be 24K's 7th mini album.
God, it would be terrible.
It'd be terrible. But yeah, no, I like them.
They're good.
Again, not much to say when I have no notes.
No notes, just vibes.
They're good. I like them. I want to see more from them. I would like to see... The thing with a lot of these noise groups, and that's the majority of them, I'm interested to see... The main question will be the fact that, like, noise still very popular, mm-hmm. but not as ubiquitously popular as it has been, which does mean that we're on, like, the downward slope of noise.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious what happens after the noise.
Yeah. Who's to say? They got exactly two songs, and
exactly.
I don't know what
like,
they're doing
too,
next, so it's
too
early.
Soon to speculate on that. But that will be, like, the real test to longevity for a lot of these groups is, what do we do after the noise?
Yeah.
Alright, onto a group we have things to say about.
Yes, so next we have Ampers in One. Honestly, one of the worst names I've ever heard for a group.
Honestly, up there. Maybe the worst.
Maybe the worst. So they debuted on November 15th. They're a 7-member Korean group under FNC Entertainment. So notable members, Camden and Jiho were on Wild Idol, and then Camden, Jiho, and Brian were on Boys Planet, and Siyun was on Treasure Box. Brian from Yehwa Entertainment, who
Brian,
then has apparently transferred to
Yehwa.
FNC Entertainment.
You know they were like, well, you have to go on Asia Super Young, and he's like, I'm just gonna
Bye.
Go.
Bye. How about if I, what if I just left, though?
What
and
if
so
I did
is.
Just go?
Here he is.
And then we get all of the, there's like three other kids.
Yes.
Kyrell,
Micaiah. Kyrell and Micaiah.
And Sungmu. Sungmu. Hi, you're here. You're
He's
great.
Here.
I want to talk about
Kyrell and Micaiah. That we have K-pop idols named Kyrell and Micaiah.
Whose real names are apparently Kyrell and Micaiah. No
about,
last name
No
listed.
Last names. Only Kyrell and Micaiah. That's all we got from both of them.
Again, no offense, but if anyone else has ever seen, been on like... deconstruction religious deconstruction TikTok / anything I've seen Mormons named Kyrell and Micaiah. Mm-hmm. That's just white evangelical names.
Yes.
How did they end up with these names?
Kind of crazy, honestly.
Like Camden, all right,
right,
sure, you named your kid Camden and Cade.
Camden twins.
They're,
Camden
they're twins.
And Cade, yeah,
fine,
sure.
Brian, that's just a normal name. That's Kyrell and Micaiah, were they Mormon?
Like what are we doing with those names?
It's wild. Also, one of the groups that, like, weirdly...
Very English-based international group. To put that into perspective, so Camden and Kyrell, both Korean-American from Seattle, specifically.
Seattle-based Korean-Americans. Brian, also, Jay Park. Different person entirely, but, like, just want to point out, Jay Park, Seattle-based.
Brian, Chinese-Canadian.
Yes.
And then Micaiah is from Australia.
Yes.
So four out of the seven members of this group are from an English-speaking country.
It's a lot.
I know the members of this group, I think, the most out of any of the other groups in this half of the list.
I know all of them except Sion, whose name, I know him by face.
Right.
If you ask me what his name is, I forget.
Uh-huh.
I don't know his name.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, yeah, no, they're weirdly all very distinctive.
Very distinctive, yeah.
Not in a bad way.
No, but it's like, Micaiah is, I think, half white and also Australian, so he's very easy to pinpoint.
And Kyrell...
Kyrell is the face of a child, so he's also very easy to pinpoint.
And, like, we already come in knowing both Brian and Camden.
And Jiho is... Jiho a little
less so, but, like, yeah. I know him.
Right.
And then it's just, like, three more people. Two of them are named Kyrell and Micaiah, and, like, how am I gonna forget that?
Exactly, yeah.
Very good. I like the debut
really a lot. Like them. Really like their debut song.
Good vibes.
Really, good vibes all around, yeah.
It does sound exactly like the Seven song.
If you listen to On and On and Get Loose back-to-back, you could, like, layer those two songs on top of each other and, like, switch the lyrics and they would be the same song. Like, it's uncanny how they're the same song.
But think about it. Get Loose, not K-pop, so we're still good. We're still original.
Also, because I think this group is so English-speaking based... The song is, like, because, you know, most K-pop is usually, like, it's Korean, and then it'll have, like, random English phrases in it.
Yes.
This almost feels the opposite, where it feels like an English song, and you throw in random Korean phrases in it. It is very, like, very much, there's so much English in it. Like, way more English than a regular K-pop song, I feel like.
Yeah. I also like that it's college-based.
It is. It is fun college-themed, which we don't really get a lot in K-pop songs, so I think that's fun.
It's either high school or work.
Yes. But like, it's college-themed. That's very cute.
We love that. Mm-hmm. It's a good time. I like the name's still terrible.
Name is awful,
album name even worse.
Yeah. Because
the album name is take out that ampersand and just put the word and in it, and it's awful. Yes. Mm-hmm. But... overall, I do like... Also, I like this thing that, like, I think recent debuts have started doing, which is almost essentially putting, like, a little introduction video at the beginning of music videos.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Here are the members.
Uh-huh.
Please learn.
Right,
which is fun for a debut, because, like, yeah, no, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
We like that. I'm interested to see what they do. I'm excited for them. We like them.
We do. Very much in the male teen crush era of music. Like, that's very much so. Where they're at.
We love that for them, though.
Yes. We do.
Okay.
I also often forget that they're in FNC Entertainment.
The fact that them and P1 Harmony
are just the same company is kind of crazy.
Here's the weird thing. I fully accept that Hi-Fi Unicorn is FNC.
Yeah.
I'm like, Hi-Fi Unicorn.
That's a band, FT Island, FNC. Yeah.
No, them, Cherry Bullet, SF9, that all FNC tracks for me. Then to say P1 Harmony doesn't track in FNC. Ampersand 1 doesn't track in FNC. P1 Harmony and Ampersand 1 don't track with each other either.
No.
They're in their own little bubbles.
The only thing I can, like, relate is I do believe that Camden's probably friends with Kiho. That feels correct, but that's all I got to connect them together.
You don't gotta be in the same company to be friends.
Right.
All right. Now we go on to the group that we were waiting for
this
to make
this video.
This is
the one that was holding up the episode.
This was holding up so much of my life.
Yes.
So we got One Pact. Debuted on November 30th, which was like our cutoff for everything this year.
Three days ago from the day we were recording this.
Yes.
Two days ago.
A 5-member Korean group under Armada Entertainment. All the members were on Boys Planet. Tag, though, left before the show aired, so, like, wasn't aired.
Tag, former member of Cypher, though.
Former member of Cypher. Jay was on Under 19 and debuted solo in October, so we originally had him on this list as a soloist.
Right.
And then when he was announced as a member of One Pact, we're like, well, rearrange.
Well, we might as well just put them on here instead, yeah.
Sunmin was on World Class and in TO1 under the name Jerome.
Yep.
Who will probably call him Jerome until
I will just call forever. Him Jerome. Yeah.
That's Jerome. You can't shed that name, sir.
No, you can't just have a stage name Jerome and then just change it all of a sudden.
And then Yedam was on Loud as well. Mm-hmm. Because Loud keeps coming up. Yep, they debuted with Must Be Nice on November 30th.
Yes.
Waiting so long for that. And so they also had a bunch of pre-release stuff because they had Go and they had Rush to You.
Rush Into You and Hot Rush Into You. Stuff, I think, were the three.
And Hot Stuff. Yeah, yeah. those were the three. Mm-hmm. Their debut is the least debut of all of their songs.
We've talked about this before, but it's like, why would you have a song called Goat and not make that your debut song? It's so perfect for a debut song.
It's insane how good that is as a debut song.
And the pronunciation also feels like they're saying Call Me God as well. And like, that's also great.
Cocky, but love it.
Bold.
Their actual debut song feels like Emotional Victon.
Yes.
Like when Victon in their emotional era.
Yes, yes.
Which, again, was Victon at their best, absolute best version of Victon there was. Mm-hmm. Was the only time Victon was good.
Right.
But this is dramatic to the 12s. So much of everything. I feel like Jay sings half the song because it's so vocal based.
Uh-huh.
But I like that.
Right.
I don't know. I think it just works really well.
The music video is... I feel like it's a bad music video for a debut just because it is...
You can't see anything?
It's so dark. Like, so much of the music video was, like, filmed, like, at night or with, like, one light
or
in the background.
In a, or in a warehouse.
In a warehouse. And I'm like, I can't see anybody.
And then it doesn't help that, like, Goat also has a pretty dark music, like, lighting-wise dark music video.
Right.
Or at the very least, it's that or you're being blared with lights in your face and you don't want to look at it.
Hot Stuff's pretty similar in the dark as well. And then, Rush Into You is, like, not in the dark, but I do think parts of it are in black and white, and also it's a self-made one, so, like, the camera angles are weird, so none of them really the best for getting to see, like, getting to know the members, but I feel like coming into One Pact, like, most people know who all these people are anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that's why they're here, so.
Again, I don't have as much of a complaint. Like, if, like, Quib did this, I'd be like, come on. But, like, them, it's a little more understandable, even though I still think that it was probably an overall bad idea.
Uh-huh.
I still think Goat should have been their debut song. It's such a good song. It's so good
as a debut song.
Like, and then just put Must Be Nice as, like, your promoted B-side. Like, I think it works really well for that. I think it shows the two things that this group can do very well.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe lean into the Must Be Nice in your comeback.
Right.
Again, I'm happy for so many of these people. I'm happy Jay is in a group, didn't disappear into the ether.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy Jerome got another opportunity. Hope Woongi's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently someone was telling me Woongi was trying to soft launch a man.
Okay.
On his Instagram. And
that's
I'm like,
kind of
what?
So funny.
That's amazing if that's true.
It's crazy. That's really kind of crazy, but good for him.
Honestly, good for Woongi if he's trying to soft launch.
Oh, God.
He deserves love.
He does. I love Woongi. I hope he's doing okay.
Though I would absolutely love it if everything we thought was confirmed.
Uh-huh. That would be great.
It'd be hilarious.
It'd be so funny. Anyway, here is the last group. This is the group, other than the two we added literally right now, that we found in between the recording of last episode.
Yes, that's the one we officially found in between.
Yes. So we have Devil, I don't know. It is DV period OL is the group. the pronunciation of that? Who is to say?
I think we went with Devil.
Uh-huh. Devil, sure.
It so, could just be Devil.
Could be Devil. I don't know.
If that's what they're gonna go with.
Right. So they are technically, as of recording this, pre-debut. They were supposed to debut on November 26th, but it got delayed. So now their official debut date is set for December 24th. So they will debut by the time the year is over, but not enough time.
Not even by the time the episode's out.
Not by the time the episode's out, but they will debut by the end of the year.
So and there is a reason we decided to put them in here.
Yeah, so they're a 5-member Korean group under DS Entertainment, and all the 5 of them are former members of the group Blanky, who we talked about in 2021.
Oh, Blanky.
So if anyone is unaware, Blanky fell apart because one of the members got arrested.
That is what happened.
That's kind of essentially, like, the TLDR of that is one of them got arrested and the group fell apart.
Yep. And then lost a bunch of people because there were more than 6 people in Blanky.
Yeah, but a lot of things.
These are the
5
that have decided to stick around.
Yes.
And they were originally going to continue as Blanky.
Right.
And then someone had the bright idea, and by bright I mean actually correct idea, that maybe we should rebrand.
Yeah.
As to not bring the baggage with us.
Right.
And now they're better than Blanky ever was.
Yeah, this is, like, these songs were good. I did not like any of Blanky's music before because it was very noisy, but I do really like the 2 songs that Devil has put out so far.
No, they're quite good. Journey is very fun.
Uh-huh.
It's a good time. It's such a very interesting position to be in.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, Blanky was never popular, but at the very least, you know, this is a new start for them. I like them, though. I want more from them. I think their debut is actually going to be quite good.
It should be good, given the track of their 2 pre-debut songs. Yeah. Both of them are very fun, very good. I like it.
They're a little more on the chill side, which I enjoy.
Yeah, and they're fun. They're chill
not full
and fun.
Chill like POW, but like
right.
Still chill.
Still chill. Very nice. So we'll see how that debut turns out for
them. Why couldn't they wait like 5 more days and they would have debuted next year?
I know. It's like, I don't know.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve debut.
A very interesting choice.
It's a choice.
Maybe they'll get delayed again. If they've already been delayed when we put the... Because we're recording this now. They have 20 days.
They could get delayed. They could get delayed now again. Christmas Eve. So.
Before when someone actually looks at the calendar and is like, shit.
Shit.
Also, well, they're debuting on a Saturday.
Okay, that's
Sunday.
Everything about that's a bad idea. Like,
that's like not normal. Because like no one ever debuts on a
Sunday.
No one
debuts on a weekend, and especially on Christmas Eve on a weekend. Like,
yeah,
when,
Christmas
what?
Eve is a Sunday this year.
Like they could have done, I think, December 26th, and that would have been a better idea than
better
Christmas Eve on Sunday.
I know Christmas is different in Korea, but I still think it's a very weird thing to be debuting
on Christmas
Eve.
It's a weird thing to do.
Given that, like, that you won't have a music show until the new year anyway.
I know, it's very weird that that's the day they picked, but you know.
Right?
I guess.
They're going under the radar.
Oh, well. They're doing it, I guess.
Sure. So now we're on to the final thing we do.
Yes, yeah. So we have to finish the tier ranking for these boys. And we have so many more boys.
Yes. To reintroduce our tiers, we have our F4, our favorite 4, our the best 4.
Yes.
We have fuck you if you're still trying to hate. Because you know what? Fuck you. It's our
fuck
list.
Fuck you if you're still trying to hate. Exactly. The tier says what it says.
Exactly. Next tier, my boob and booty's hot. Because their boob and booty is hot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good, I'm great, I work, get paid. They're here for their money.
Yes.
And they're still going to be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
Self-explanatory.
Of course.
We'll be taking no questions at this
time.
No
questions at this time.
And then we have hot like soup.
Hot like
bad
soup.
Bad lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have I'm a 5-star Michelin, which... A line that stuck with us.
It did. It truly did stick with
us.
It
really has.
Oh boy. So we already have the part one boys on here.
We did.
Go back to part one if you want us, if you want to get explanations.
But okay, to give a quick recap of where those groups are, ZB1's in F4. Boy Next Door, The Seven, and Hi-Fi Unicorn are in Fuck You If You Still Trying to Hate. 8-Turn, DXTeen, and The Wind are in My Boob and Booty's Hot. Lunade and Zodiac are in I'm Good, I'm Great, I Work, Get Paid. VXB and WEOS are in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
The days of the week tier.
And Zykers and WEA are in Hot Like Soup.
Yes.
I do want to move Zodiac up a tier.
I do too, having now listened to more Zodiac.
Yeah, so Zodiac gonna get moved to My Boob and Booty's Hot now.
We like Zodiac a lot.
I do really like them.
Alright, so now we're gonna start with Horizon.
Yes, Horizon.
I think Horizon's good and I'm good, I'm great, I work at paid.
Yeah, I think that's a good place for them.
And also, because we didn't know about Catch, what is it?
I put New ID and Catch the Young on here last
minute. Okay, cool.
Yep.
I was gonna say, because we didn't have them on there originally.
No, I did edit this live.
Yeah. I don't want to end with them, so can we put Catch the Young in?
I'll put them in,
Catch the Young in, I don't know, put them in the weekdays, or put them in Hot Like Soup.
I want to put them in Hot Like Soup. I think they're not, I don't really like them.
New ID can go in
the days of the week. Yeah. There we go.
There. We got them out of the way.
Yep.
Ensign.
I'm between Days of the Week and Hot Like Soup for Ensign, because that debut song is bad.
Very bad.
Yeah.
But, like, everything else is decent.
It's okay.
So do we want to be generous, or do we want to be bitchy?
I feel like they haven't done anything to make me personally mad, so I feel like
Zykers in Hot, like, Zykers has put out more bad music than they have, yeah. Good, never mind. I think, well, let's put them in Days of the Week. They have a chance.
Days of the Week, yeah.
Yeah, we like them. Fine. Yeah,
fine.
Lev.
He's fine.
I kind of want to do him work, get paid. He works, he gets paid.
He works, he gets paid.
Taut.
I don't know
with them.
I don't know.
They're not debuted yet. We have very little to go off of.
They feel either Days of the Week or I'm Good, I'm Great. I feel probably closer to I'm Good, I'm Great
I think it's low I'm Good, I'm Great.
Yeah.
Just because I see so much potential for them.
Right.
Trust me, they're going to get, just think, they're going to get re-ranked next year.
Exactly.
Rise.
Yeah, what do we do with that?
I'm in between Days of the Week and Hot Like Soup, but Hot Like Soup mainly just for Talk Sexy.
Yeah, I feel like if we have Zykers in Hot Like Soup, Rise also has to go in Hot Like Soup.
Yeah, fair enough.
I can come in here.
See, I want to put Even in My Boob and Booty mainly for its members.
Mainly for members alone, yeah.
And I think we should, because they're a project group and they're not going to be here
a long
time.
They're not going to be here for long. Okay. Fantasy Boys, I want to put in Five Star Michelin. That's the only group I'm solidly, like, that's a Five Star Michelin group.
Because we were never going to use Five Star Michelin for rookies, just because it's like, well, they're so new.
But, like,
they can get better. But, no, for them,
K-Soul
absolutely.
Alone puts them in Five Star Michelin.
K-Soul is off the charts.
I have a personal vendetta against K-Soul.
As most people should.
Honestly.
Now we get Twos.
Twos are so
I
good.
I want to put Twos in my, like,
My Boob and Booty's Hot.
I think they'd appreciate that tier.
Yeah, they would. They
82
would find that
Major.
Ooh. They feel like Days of the Week.
They feel Days of the Week-y.
They feel like low Days of the Week.
Yeah, it feels like technically they should be in Hot Like Soup, but I think it's mainly just for budget reasons, not for
anything else. They're so new goo, I feel like we gotta give them something.
We gotta give them something. Yeah. Pow.
Pow. Pow feels, is... I'm good, I'm great, feels there.
I don't know, I kinda wanna put them in My Boob and Booty. They're a chill My Boob and Booty. They're chill Booty.
Chill Boob and Booty.
They're chill Boob and Booty.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? New team is
New
Hot
team
like
is
Soup.
Hot. That's, they can go right next to Rise and Hot Like Soup.
Yep, right next to each other.
Right below Rise. Right yeah, below, right below though. Rise and Hot Like Soup.
Whib.
Whib is good.
I like Whib.
Whip is either I'm Good, I'm Great, or Boob and Booty.
Yeah,
if
I feel
Pow
like
and Boob and
if
Booty.
If Pow is in Boob and Booty, Whip also should go to Boob and Booty.
And, like, I'm okay with filling up Boob and Booty.
Yeah.
Amperson 1 might be in Fuck You.
I think Amperson 1 is a tier above that. I think Amperson 1 goes in Fuck You
Amperson
tier.
Amperson 1 goes in Fuck You tier.
Yeah.
Doval's hard because they haven't technically debuted.
Yeah, I feel like they should go right by Tiot. Like, because they're similarly good, but, like, we don't have a debut yet.
Yeah. And now we got 1PACT. I'm okay with 1PACT going in Boob and Booty.
Yeah, I don't want to put 1PACT right next to Even because they feel very similar to me.
They do. More of what I want to see more from them.
They
so
can be friends here.
Okay, so we gotta kick. You still trying to hate is right. Going to be a one person tier.
A one person tier. Who is the least good out of these four groups?
Amperson 1.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I've been
because
I think between them, the seven, I don't know if
cancel each other out.
Do they? Oh, because they're the same song.
Because the same song.
They truly are the same song. Yeah. It's clearly, because, like, Boy Next Door and Hi-Fi Unicorn both feel like that's the logical choice to put them up there with ZB1.
And I do think the 7 beats out Amperson 1 right now.
Well, here's the thing is, I feel like because they're literally the same song, I kind of want to keep them both in the Fuck You tier and just have the 3.
We have an F3. Deal. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Here you go. So here's our official tier ranking of the 30 K-pop rookie boy groups of 2023.
It's a goddamn miracle we made it this far.
Insane that we have that many for 1 year.
Yup.
And I'm sure there are groups that we didn't even talk about that debuted this year.
Oh, there's
well.
A new boy group that has 1,000 views that we forgot about, but like, it's fine.
Oh, definitely. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It's not that they're bad, it's just we didn't know. Exactly. Trust me, we have everybody we know about.
Yeah.
In this.
We do. We truly.
Sometimes we skip because we're like, well, they're not that interesting. They're too nugu, whatever. This year we put everybody in.
Everybody we knew, they were here. So quite a lot.
Yes. So that's been the episode.
That's been the episode. That's been the end on the 2023 boy groups. There's so many.
Let's go watch Asia Super Young and just make another boy group.
Right, exactly. For next year. Let's go prepare to make another boy group.
Women, get your shit together.
Seriously. All these boy groups have been consuming my entire life this year. So
they're crazy. So good.
They're all so good. But yes, I've also made like a clip video, like TLDR version of these two episodes that will be coming out, I think, this Wednesday after this episode releases. So also if you want to go and just like hear snippets of all of these groups' music to see if you like them or not, that'll also come out. Catch the Young and New ID will not be on there because those were auditions we made to this today and I've already made the video, so those won't be in there.
We ain't redoing that video.
But the 20 nope, because that is a very high effort video to make. But all the other 28 group songs will be on there, so that'll be a nice video coming out soon, and then one of our first clip videos in a long time, so enjoy it, please. And other than that, we are available on all major podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We also have our YouTube channel where we post all of our episodes along with occasional clip videos as well. Because it's the end of the year, we do have clip videos coming soon because me and Sammy will be doing our top 100 songs of the year. So if you are curious to know about our opinions on actual music this year, you can check those out soon. And with that, we will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.